AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us at our studios at 9th and Gamble this morning. Good morning, Dr. Kersey.
Good morning, David.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Pleasure's mine.
Ready to get jacked up?
I'm ready. I can't wait to
talk about chiropractic.
Yeah, if that's what we're going to talk about today, what are we going to talk about?
I want to talk about a topic that affects not only myself at times, but family members, people that I know, and even you, my friend. If you are experiencing pain in the shoulder region, whether it is a dull ache, a sharp pain, or tingling sensation that radiates down your arm, there is no denying that shoulder pain can seriously disrupt your daily quality of life. Is shoulder pain a condition that chiropractic could help to eliminate, minimize, or heal? That is the topic of our first conversation with the good doctor this morning. Would shoulder pain be so common that people just feel, well, it's something I have to live with? And do you see patients who've lived with that pain for a long, long time?
You mean my normal shoulder pain?
Yes.
Well, I just have the normal pains in my shoulder. I have my normal pains. Shoulder pain is something I know a lot about, and I really don't like it. And I shoulder pain stinks because it's there all the time. And you raise your arm, and you have that pain.
There you go to reach.
My shoulder pain came from an accident because it usually comes from an accident. Oh. It is the most complex. It's that, yeah, we're going to say the most complex joint in the body.
I'm going to say that in the next question.
It does it, because that's what they say about the shoulder joint. It is, we have that little thing called the rotator cuff.
Yes.
The rotator cuff. The supraspinatus, infraspinatus, teres minor, and subscapularis tendons come over and form a cuff over that. People think that the rotator cuff is the actual structure. My rotation cuff, we hear all kinds of names for the rotator cuff. And it is not what people think it is. It is an actual band of muscles and the tendons that come over that actually create the cuff, holding the shoulder in place. When we see shoulder injuries, we usually see those from an injury, falling an outstretched hand, or like me in 1988, hitting a tree at 75 miles an hour. That'll actually lead to problems. And then I fell about 9-10 years ago skiing, got up and couldn't move my arm. I'm like, something's wrong. Everything from the past came back. So it can be from old experiences that now you finally have pain. But pain in the shoulder that people have can be from so many different reasons, and we actually have to determine what is causing your shoulder pain. Is it bicipital tendonitis? Is it working to a tendinosis? Is it like the kid yesterday? Well, I think I need to go. I'm going to probably have surgery. Why would you say you're going to have surgery? You have no decrease in function of your arm. You have a little shoulder pain that is not a tear. And if you want to do an MRI, we could show you that it's not a tear, so you know that you don't have to do shoulder. Well, I've had this for a couple months. I think I need surgery. Why would we even think like that? But yeah,
sure. We are conditioned to think like that, aren't we?
We sure are. Yeah, let's go to that, because I heard you have to have shoulder. I'll never have. Well, I'm knocking on wood. I don't think I'll ever get shoulder surgery. And I have a torn supraspinatus, torn infraspinatus, 3 spurs, a cyst, and bicipital tendinosis.
Wow. That doesn't sound good. As you said, the shoulder joint has been called one of the most complex joints in the body. Why, in your estimation, is it called that?
It's, if you think about it, it's, if we see the joint, it's a ball and socket with the humeral head going into the acetabulum, and the glenoid fossa, I should say. Not the acetabulum, is more of the hip, but the glenoid fossa. And we have so many different structures, but it's all held together by those tendons. It's not a very stable area.
Oh.
And so when we hurt that thing, it's easy to injure, and we need to maintain our shoulder strength. I've been working out since the 8th grade, and I never really liked doing shoulders. I didn't like having my hands above. I never developed my shoulder strength like I should have, and that's probably why I got injured. Well, I think when I got hit, I had enough shoulder strength and strength to hold onto that steering wheel and put it onto the dashboard and hurt myself. But I was pretty strong at that point where it didn't break anything. So I think I would say that we should strengthen our shoulders more, and we should look more on prevention of shoulders. I do shoulder workouts every day now. I do my little arm shoulder these little rotation things like I'm doing here with my arms straight out and one way and then the other way. I do that while I make my coffee in the morning. I do my little shoulder exercises. I do my band exercises. I strengthen my shoulder now because I have to survive my shoulder injury so I can see patients and serve patients, and I have to work, so I have to make sure my shoulders are strong enough for me to do my job. So it is an unstable area. It's not housed like the spine with all the muscles or the rib cage where it's all solid. It is a freely movable joint, and it's out there to be injured.
Do we have to come to the realization that we use our shoulder joints on such a regular basis that eventually they, like parts on a car, begin to wear down and wear out?
They sure do. Now, if we're looking at hip, we'll say that hips wear out on one side more than the other because we favor one side, or we cross our legs, or we hurt ourselves in that hip. We never see both hips go at the same time. Well, not never, but we usually see one versus the other. Same with the shoulder. If we're using our shoulder, say we're a painter and we're using our right side all the time, we're doing that, or we're throwing a baseball, or we're golfing, or whatever's hurting your shoulder on a regular basis, is usually a one-sided thing. So we have to develop that strength in those shoulders to maintain that. What was the question?
Our shoulders wear out like parts.
Yeah, they're
going
to wear out on one side versus the other. And it's okay to wear out, but it we shouldn't be wearing out with pain and dysfunction. But we only have so much life in our joints, and I think that we can maintain them and keep them going like parts of a car if we lubricate them well with proper nutrition. Mm-hmm. If we have proper nerve and blood supply coming from the neck into the shoulder joint, that's going to be huge. If we exercise the shoulders on a regular basis to strengthen them, that's going to prevent wear and tear of the joint.
What would create a shoulder range of motion limitations?
Oh, we have frozen shoulder.
Yes.
Frozen shoulder. Usually comes from an injury, and muscles tighten up to protect us. We know that, right?
Okay.
Well, my muscles are tight, so I'm going to take a muscle relaxer. No, but they're tightening up to protect you. But when we have an adhesive capsulitis or a frozen shoulder, that can be worked through. There's this little website that they send me these deals, these little inventions. They have a new shoulder cuff, and it's supposed to be, it's $21. Buy it today. It's $21.99. It's 30% off. And it will stabilize the shoulder, and it's got little straps. And I thought, Do I need that? I like the mobility. I'm not a big fan of bracing. I'm more of a fan of mobility and strength versus just putting things in boots and braces. But I do think that the stabilization is key. But we really need to focus on the strength of that.
Why is a chiropractor the one you can turn to for shoulder related pain?
We work with shoulders every single day, and Dr. Foley and I we've kind of developed our special move. We call it the Kersey Chiropractic Special for the shoulder joint, but it's really not the actual joint. And other people move the scapula, and other people move the first rib, clavicle, and shoulder joint, and there's the glenohumeral inferior adjustment. There's all kinds of adjustments to the shoulder. We do one where we're moving the scapula. We're bringing the scapula back and getting that shoulder blades back and trying to take the pressure off the shoulder joint because we have a lot of rounded shoulders out there. Mm. So if we don't have proper posture, that's another thing why you should see a chiropractor, to get better posture and get your shoulders back and your head up and alleviate the stress of the shoulder joint. Because when your scapula goes forward, now when you're putting more pressure and that decreases the flow of that nerve coming out into the shoulder. So we want to make sure we have proper function of the shoulder. So we can actually adjust shoulder joints, scapula, clavicles, first ribs. So we can do all those things and get that proper function back. So we see shoulders on a absolutely regular basis, and we've taken people that cannot move their shoulder, their arm off of their side to full range of motion without drugs, without surgery. We can get the motion back into the joint. We have exercises you can do. We have little techniques you can use, ice you can use. There's all kinds of things a chiropractor can do for the shoulder. So even though we like to focus on subluxation removal of interference, but we do a lot of extremities, and extremity adjusting is huge in chiropractic.
Is the pain we are experiencing in the shoulder ever coming from someplace else in the body?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. Yay! Yes. And a lot of people say, oh, I have pain in my shoulder. I got pain in my shoulder. And they point to their shoulder. You know where they're pointing to?
Right here.
Their biceps tendon. They'll point to the top of the shoulder.
Yes.
They'll point to the acromioclavicular joint, the little bump on the top. Oftentimes, they'll point to their back between their shoulder blade. I have pain in my shoulder right here. And I'm like, okay, is that your shoulder? Not really, but it is part of that complex, and it's usually coming from the base of the neck. We have that long thoracic nerve goes down there and creates a little spasm at that into the rhomboid or teres muscle. So there is that spasm and that pain in the shoulder blade where we think it's my shoulder. It's really not your shoulder, it's your neck. We have a lot of neck, we have a lot of shoulder pain, arm pain, like you said earlier in the show, tingling, numbness in the fingers that are, is misdiagnosed. Oh, you have carpal tunnel. You don't have carpal tunnel. You have a neck problem. So a lot of the stuff does come from the neck, and we can't heal the shoulder, the arm, the fingers without having proper nerve and blood supply from the neck.
Let me think of my question here.
Go ahead.
Can shoulder pain ever be related to an injury to the rib cage?
Yeah, so you'll have misalignment of the ribs, the clavicle, the whole scapular junction there, that little complex, and you'll have shoulder pain. And we have to make sure the alignment's there. We can't continue to have dysfunction of shoulders, ribs, clavicles, neck, upper back, and expect our shoulder to work because it's an extension of that.
I see. Let's look at the neck. What's happening in the spinal structure of the neck that's impacting the shoulder about 12 to 14 inches away, resulting in spasms and pain?
Spasms, pain, and spasms are there for a reason because there's that information coming from the nervous system down to the shoulder saying, something's not right. I got my nociceptive fibers firing off every minute because I have this pain. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from the neck? Is it coming from the upper back? Is it coming from the shoulder joint? Where is it coming from? So we have to assess properly. We have these little things called orthopedic and neurological tests.
Yes, we
that
do.
We use, and chiropractic tests that we use to determine where that is actually coming from. And is it coming from the shoulder joint itself? Is it a tear? We do have tons of tears of the supraspinatus, mostly the supraspinatus tendon that they do surgery for. And do you need that? Is it a full tear? Is it a full thickness tear? Is it a rupture of the tendon? So there's so many different varieties of shoulder injuries. Do you have sparring? Do you have arthritic joint, which is with sparring? So what is really going on with your shoulder? And we could do x-rays. We could do MRIs. We could do all kinds of things that actually determine what we need to do to, let's say, rehabilitate the shoulder and get the shoulder adjustment in and make sure there's proper nerve and blood supply coming from the neck, upper back. And where is that coming from? That's determined by your healthcare provider called the chiropractor.
I want to go back to something you mentioned just a little bit ago. What is shoulder or frozen shoulder, and how would you go about unfreezing a frozen shoulder?
Yeah, the adhesive capsule. So we do different moves. There's a little move where we hold you by your side. We do these little circles and then bring about the other way. Again, determining why do you have frozen shoulder? Is it locking up because there is an old injury? Is it an arthritic injury? Is it a recent fall in the outstretched hand? What did you do to get to that frozen shoulder? And let's unfreeze it and let's get the movement back in there. And we work on the mobility and getting that joint established back to proper function.
Dr. Kersey, what is bursitis and how would it express itself within the shoulder?
Oh, I love the itises. I got the itis. I got bursitis, tendonitis. We talk a lot about diagnosis, right? You have tendonitis. You have bursitis. Oh, there's nothing you can do. I got the bursitis.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay. It's inflammation of the bursa, the sac, the fluid-filled sac. Why is it a bursitis? What is the cause of the bursitis? You know that little thing called cause we've been talking about
yes.
for the last couple of years? We get to the cause of why are you having that? What caused that injury to create an itis in there? And why are you having it? And why do you still have it? And we have to determine that and figure out what is causing the inflammation of the joint and try to get the proper function back so we don't have that itis anymore because it's a response to something. And that's what we have to try to figure out. So an itis or an osis, that's just a diagnosis. And just because you got, I got bursitis of the shoulder. How long you had bursitis? Oh, years. Really? And you're not doing it, but I take my anti-inflammatories and I take my drugs to decrease my inflammation. Get to the cause of the problem. Is your shoulder not functioning right? Do you have rounded shoulders? Is your posture terrible? Do you have neck injuries that's not supplying that joint correctly? What is the problem with the shoulder? How many times have you injured it? Are you doing the proper techniques in your sporting activity or your work activity or your desk activity? What are you doing to create more inflammation in that joint? And that's what we have to get to the cause of.
Over the years, I've heard many of my athletic friends say, well, I tore my rotator cuff and they're on the bench. What would be your chiropractic plan for getting somebody back into the game after an injury like this?
Wow. So we have to determine if there was a rotator cuff tear, if it was a full tear, if it was a half, you know, because there's you could have fraying of the tendon. You could have all kinds of different varieties of a tear. Is it a real tear? Is it a rupture of that tendon? Can you, do you have to re-anchor that tendon? What do you have to do? How far along is that injury? And then we have to determine, how can we rehab it? How can we adjust? How can we figure out what we can do with that tear of the rotator cuff tendon to get you back? Now, a lot of them will choose surgery because, oh, I have to have surgery. I work every day. I don't have surgery. I have one of the worst shoulders around, but I'm not doing surgery. I did stem. Oh, can we talk about stem cell?
Let's talk about stem cell.
Stem cell was great. So I did the stem cell injection in my shoulder, thinking, well, there's got to be some repair. The body knows how to heal itself, and I'll do that tendon stuff in there. So I went down. I did the stem cell, the amniotic stem cell, not of aborted fetuses. Because it was, oh, it's been babies. So this was all good stuff, and I did it. And in a couple months, I had zero pain. I had zero problems with my shoulder. I was on top of the world. And then we were out back, and my son was on the deck, and I said, well, I got to go in my house. I got to go in the house. I got to go down the stairs. I got to go around the house because I was emptying the hot tub, and the little hose got stuck, and I had to go fix it. So, and instead of going back through the house, I felt like $1 million. I'm Superman. I'm just going to climb this deck, and I'm going to get back up on there without having to go around the house and waste that 3.5 minutes taken me to go over there and take off my shoes and then put my shoes back on and carry my shoes. And I climbed the deck, and then like in Die Hard when the guy falls off the building,
right.
That's what my son saw as I fell off the deck, grabbing for every last straw, and I re-injured my shoulder. Ooh. And I tore some different things in my shoulder. I want to do the stem cells again to see if that it will help, because there is the body's ability to regrow tissue and to redo things.
Yes.
So I'm going to try that again, but that was fun. So I re-injured something that was already on the mend. And that's the thing. Once we have no pain, well, let's do it again. And that's what people do, right? Well, I'm not in pain. I might as well do it. And that's the other thing with taking the drugs. Well, I'm taking those drugs so I don't have that pain, so I can keep doing my activities, but I'm making things worse. So that's why another reason I don't choose to medicate, and because I want to know what my body's feeling. I want to know the information. It's coming from the body, from the rest of the body to the brain for a reason. I better listen to my body.
We talk a lot about bad posture on this program. You just mentioned it a minute ago. Can the simple act of working at a desk job day in and day out have an adverse effect on our shoulders?
All day, every day.
Okay.
That micro trauma every single day. Bend forward, your arms like this. People are like, what are you doing over there at the computer? You're staring at it. I'm like, no, I'm using my mouse, but my mouse is on my leg. So I stand, and I have my mouse on my leg.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing over there. So I'm using the mouse because I don't want my arm up, because my arm is in that position of stress up there. I'd rather have my arm by my side while I'm standing, and because my computer, when I'm doing my notes, is up on the wall. So I'm using my mouse on my leg, click, 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 and I put it back. So I do things so I'm not injuring my shoulder. That's one thing we can do. But when we're sitting at the computer all day and your head is jutted forward, putting pressure on that brachial plexus, going into your arm, decreasing the function of the shoulder all day. And the mousing up to one side, and then the keyboard. I had too much coffee there. So all those things, swallowed wrong. And all those things are going to add up to shoulder injury.
How is stability restored to weak or painful shoulders as a patient visits your chiropractor on a regular basis?
Yeah, so that's strength from within, strength from the nervous system out to the shoulder. But we will encourage different exercises. And I had a patient yesterday. I said, are you doing your exercises? Yeah, show me. And they are doing them wrong. I'm like, I told you 15 times, brother. This is how you do the exercise. This is what you need to do. And we have to strengthen the shoulder joint. There's no way around. I talk to my kids. I'm like, we go to the gym. We got to do shoulders. Why are we always doing? We're doing shoulders. We have to maintain our shoulder joints. We have to do these things correctly. We have to have proper posture when we're in the gym. We have to not look to one side when we're in contraction state when we're lifting. We have to make sure we stabilize and strengthen those shoulders. I think it's a huge thing to strengthen shoulders. And I really do my exercises every single day. And I should have done them for years. We in chiropractic school in the in fourth trimester, when we're going through our first actual technique of toggle recoil, I don't know if she's still around. She can't be. She was ancient back then. But she showed us different hand exercises and different shoulder exercises to do before we start practice every day. She said, do these exercises so you prevent injury of your shoulders and your arms and your fingers. And I thought, come on, I've got to do those little silly exercises with this. And what do I have in my hand right now? A little squeezy ball, because I'm doing my finger exercises,
right?
Because I have to strengthen my hands and my shoulders. So, yeah, listen to people that are telling you to strengthen and stabilize and prevent, because I didn't, and I ended up with shoulder problems.
When would you recommend that someone needs shoulder surgery, and will you exhaust all other possibilities before you even say shoulder surgery?
I will exhaust all possibilities. We're going to do shoulder adjustments. We're going to do exercises. We're going to make sure the nervous system has the proper nerve and blood supply to the shoulder. We're going to have to get that information. We have to get that blood flow. It's super important to have proper spinal health for any extremity, whether it's knees, ankles, shoulders, fingers. We have to make sure that blood nerve flow is there from the central systems to out to the periphery. So periphery being anything past the spine. So we want to make sure those things are out there, but we will exhaust those. We'll take an x-ray if we feel there's an x-ray need, but x-ray is not going to show tears of a tendon. So when you, unless it's a cromioclavicular grade 4 separation, we're not going to see tendon or joint problems. When I need an x-ray of my shoulder, I think I tore my rotator cuff. I'm not going to be able to tell you if you tore your rotator cuff from an x-ray. I'm going to see all kinds of stuff there. I'm going to see misalignment. I'm going to see arthritic spurs. I'm going to see all kinds of things, but I'm not going to see a tendon. So if you get a diagnosis of a rotator cuff tear from an x-ray, think about that one. I love x-ray, but you need an MRI for that. So we'll send out for MRI. How much of a tear do we have? What is really going on? And then we'll assess again. Just because you get an MRI, it is information. It is concluding what you already thought. So if I know, I'm pretty sure you have a rotator cuff tear, and I'm going to make sure of that. And let's see how bad it is, because this is not getting better with the care that we're doing. And you're doing your exercises, you're getting your adjustments, you're making sure everything, you're getting everything that you need to do, but it's not helping. So let's get an MRI to make sure this is what we need to do for our next step. Okay, this is exactly what we thought. This is what it showed on the MRI. So now we'll do something else.
What are your thoughts on shoulder replacement surgery?
Oh, we see a lot of those. I got one guy yesterday. I called him a $6 million man, because he has I think he has bilateral hip replacement. He has one knee replacement. The other one, they did something else. They cut something else. He's going for an ankle replacement. He has two shoulder problems. They did a shoulder. This is a crazy story. They did a shoulder replacement, and they had to do the reverse shoulder, the inverse or the reverse, where they, instead of just doing the humeral head and then the acetabulum with the little thing, they do a complete reversal where they make the joints different. So that's a really cool surgery. But he had the surgery, and he came in, he was having hip pain, and I was like, what's going on with hip? And we were trying to figure things out. I'm like, we just did an x-ray of the lumbar spine last week. His infection from his shoulder went to his hip, and he was walking around without a hip joint. It was the craziest. I'm like, wow. Where did it go? His ball and socket were completely gone, and he was walking around. He finally went to a walker, and he finally had to have a replacement of the hip. But that was a crazy situation from a shoulder surgery. So we see a lot of shoulder surgeries, rotator cuff tendon repair, bicipital tendon. If you rip your bicep tendon, I worked with this one orthopedic surgeon. I said, hey, I'm sending over a possible bicep tear. I think it's a long head bicep tear. He caught his Harley as it was falling. He ripped his tendon. He got a little bit of retraction there. You might want to do an MRI. He said, I don't need to do an MRI. If you tell me it's bicep tendon tear, I know it's bicep tendon tear, because you sent me a couple of them and you've always been right. And I'm not saying that I'm always right. I'm just saying that we see, if it looks right, like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And so we get those over right away. So we want to make sure that bicep tendon tear, if that's a rupture of the bicep tendon, get over there. So as far as the shoulder replacement surgery, we've seen good ones, we've seen bad ones, and we've seen everything in between.
Can a non-invasive approach to eliminating pain in the shoulder be just as powerful and as healing as an invasive approach?
Sometimes more. So if we can get, because if we go into a shoulder surgery and we're not just going in there with a little tiny little needle and say, oh, dear, it is, and then we're fixing that. It's an invasive surgery. Google it. YouTube it. I watched it when I retore my shoulder, and I thought, what is it? What do they actually do? Let me watch it, because right. I've watched videos and I've been to seminars and let me see what some new what's out there on the YouTube. And I did, and I was like, oh God, I never want to do that. So I didn't. But it's invasive, and there is rehab for that, and you're out for 6 months. Are you going to be able to do your job? So we take a conservative approach for one reason. To be conservative and to actually try to do things without the invasive procedures. And sure, they work, but so does this. And if we can get you there and stabilize you and strengthen you and have no pain in your shoulder, which we've done a lot of, why not try it that way first? It just makes sense.
Some shoulder surgery patients are still in pain months, maybe even years after their procedure. How do you approach them as a chiropractor after an invasive surgery? And do you have any reservations about an area that's been altered mechanically, grafted upon, or replaced with artificial parts?
All right. So first of all, I make fun of them and say, I told you so. And then I'm like, I'm not going to work with you. You didn't listen to me the first time. And then I'm going to not see you. That would be terrible, but that would be funny, though. So I would actually say that we see a lot of post-surgical, and we do see a lot of pain coming from there. And then we have to determine, again, the cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. Is it your neck going into your shoulder? Is that pain still coming from there? We have a new joint. We have different areas. Let's look at your posture. Are you doing the exercises? Are you still now stabilizing and strengthening with shoulder exercises and proper nutrition? And are you sleeping on your stomach, which is going to turn your head, which is going to give you more shoulder problems? So we have to really determine, again, the cause of why you're having pain from the shoulders. It's a couple years now. The $6 million man yesterday, I'm actually moving his scapula and I'm adjusting his neck, and we're doing some shoulder work, and he still has shoulder pain with bilateral shoulder replacement. I'm telling you, this guy's got every joint replaced that you can imagine.
So let's talk about your shoulder pain. Can it ever become, or will it ever become, debilitating that you'll be forced to make a decision about your career?
No. Let's say no. Here's the thing. If I was to retire, and I, God forbid, poor people out there suffering without my adjustment. So if I was ever to retire and work on my shoulder and rehab my shoulder and do what is needed to actually get that shoulder strength back, and if I didn't retire, say I took 6 months leave of absence and I worked on things, I probably would be almost 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think it's what I do as a chiropractor, and I put myself in harm's way because of what I do, because I'm a manual adjuster. I use my hands. I use my shoulders. I get in there, and I'm not light. I'm not light.
No.
I'm not going, oh, let me dis. I can't hit you too hard here because it might hurt my shoulder. I don't do that. I give you my all 100% of the time. And if I get a little shoulder pain afterwards, and I put my shoulder back, and it goes clunk, and I stand there, and I do my little shoulder exercises while I'm adjusting you because I want to make sure I get that next adjustment in there, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to give you my all. So it is not going to limit my practice. I'm going to still do what I do. I may have to slow down one day to actually heal, but I'm going to work on strengthening and say, absolutely not. I'm going to keep going, or I'll find a different way to adjust.
What concerns you the most about your own shoulder pain?
The pain. The pain. The waking up, the pain. There was a time before I got the stem cell, and before, and you know, Dr. Atkins comes over and does ART. He does the active release technique. He'll work on my shoulder and my biceps tendon. Dr. Foley adjusts my scapula. He adjusts my shoulder. He adjusts my neck and upper back. I mean, Dr. Foley gives me a fantastic adjustment. And, you know, Dr. Joel just happens to have some other techniques in his tool bag. So we use those. But what concerns me the most is, you know, maybe throwing a ball to my kid, or, you know, throwing a football or playing basketball, because I wasn't able to shoot at all a few years ago, but I can actually shoot a basketball again.
Fantastic.
Which is cool. I'm not good anymore. You know, I never really was good. But, I mean, I not playing a piano anymore. That doesn't matter. I never did. Never will. So concerns me is loss of function, like you're saying, and being put out with my career. And I know a couple of doctors in town, doctors of chiropractic, that have had shoulder surgery, and they use instruments for the most part now because they can't do what they did.
Right.
So if I thought shoulder surgery was the way to go, and I had shoulder surgery, and I'm able to adjust like I used to, that'd be great. But I'm seeing these guys that have shoulder surgery, but they don't practice like they used to. What's the point?
If somebody's in our audience is suffering from shoulder pain this morning, what's the number they can call to Kersey Chiropractic?
907-569-9355.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. And our conversation with Dr. Kersey will continue after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Over the last couple of months and weeks, Dr. Kersey has mentioned that he has seen patients with pain that originate from the rib cage. We just talked about it a little bit ago.
Yeah.
It's an area of the body that we've not talked a lot about until now. Dr. Kersey, is our rib cage and the bones that make up the ribs a more complex structure than we actually give it credit for?
I think it's a pretty stabilized area. We have that intercostal cartilage in between. We have the ribs where they meet the vertebra. Ribs are a funny thing because we hear a lot of, I have a rib out.
I have a rib out.
Well, if your rib's out, we're sending you to surgery because how's that rib going to come underneath that transverse process where it is the vertebrae and then pop out? It doesn't just pop out. We have anterior dislocations of the rib. We have costovertebral fixations, which I mean where that rib attaches to the vertebra and in the facet joints where it meets the vertebra. Yeah, we have little misalignments there, but I don't really enjoy the rib out talk. Oh, my massage therapist told me I have a rib out. I'm like, all right, we'll deal with that. And I don't try to bust on other professions.
Right.
I love to. I mean, it's fun, you know, just to, you know, just because it's fun. But it's like somebody said yesterday, my PT said, I said, stop there. I'm just, and I was just joking. Come on, we're working together. I said, I'm just joking. What did they say? And then it's funny, but the ribs, we do have that intercostal neuralgia with that pain that goes around from the back into the rib and comes over to the front. You gave me a couple years ago a great little term. Do you remember what it was?
Spinal angina.
Spinal angina. And that's a great word, like dynamism. And it is cool because where is that pain coming from? Am I having a heart attack or do I have spinal angina or do I have intercostal neuralgia? What do I have that is causing me this discomfort and this pain? So ribs, although we'll sometimes if you touch your ribs, and if you go down to the last couple of ribs and in the front, and then you push, sometimes you get a little clicking sensation, right? So
yes.
I've had that in the past. Well, that is the cartilage. That is some kind of damage that you did there. It could be where you have a sore spot in your rib that never healed. That cartilage in between the ribs is often painful. So we have that intercostal chondritis with calcific tendencies in the ribs, where there's all sorts of things that can go on with ribs. But I don't really like the rib out thing. I think that the misalignment of the vertebra putting pressure on those nerves that go underneath the rib is a bigger concern. And we see that a lot. So I'll adjust someone and go, oh, that was it. That was my rib. Okay. It wasn't. But whatever you got, brother. But the ribs are fairly stable. And they if you actually take a body apart and you take out the rib cage, it's pretty cool. You can actually hold the whole rib cage. It's not like they're just sitting there with just a rib. It's, it has the muscles and the tendons and the cartilage in between holding it all together. So it is more stable. In my opinion, it's more stable than one would think.
I was going to ask you, do ribs move and should they?
There's movement of them, uh-huh. But and we'll see that. A lot of the, you know, first rib and second rib, there's a lot of stuff that goes up there in the top of your shoulders. But in the lower part, the ribs are only a few inches long and they're my floating ribs. Yeah, they're floating, but they're also attached to cartilage. They're not just sitting out there in space with just like, wee, here I am. There's so much more incorporating them, so they don't really move. We see a lot of spinal anomalies with ribs and rib anomalies. Sometimes we'll see a 13th rib on the first lumbar vertebra, which now becomes a bone in the thoracic configuration. Sometimes we'll see no ribs on 12. Now it's a lumbar vertebra. So we have to call it different things because it's in a lumbar configuration.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see different things as far as ribs go. Sometimes we'll see cervical ribs. We'll see a rib off the 7th vertebra in the neck, which now is acting like a thoracic vertebra because it has a rib structure. So we'll see different anomalies as far as ribs go. And we'll see old fractures. We'll see different misalignments, but they usually come from more of a, if you have a scoliosis, we'll have different pressures on the ribs, and we'll have the rib cage move and turn to accommodate that and to coordinate better with the system. So there's all kinds of things that go on with ribs, but they're not just these freely movable structures that just sit out there.
And I want to make sure that I understand this. So do they become misaligned?
Yeah, you could have a misalignment where they meet the vertebrae and or in the front where they meet the sternum. We can have that. We see more anterior dislocations. Poor guy was doing an anterior rib location in a rib adjustment in another city in this state and is now not able to practice because he's suspended because he accidentally did not tell the patient that he was going to do what he was supposed to do and brushed across a female breast tissue.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be careful when you're doing anterior rib adjustments because
right.
you're in an area that is, now when we do it, we say, hey, take your arm and move your tissue over this way. So I'm going to come in here and do this and make sure that patient has awareness of what you're doing. Because if you are trying to adjust an anterior rib, you're going to be in between some structures that shouldn't be touched without acknowledgement that you're going to do that. So that's a very, very important aspect of taking care of people. You have to make sure they have the information of what we're doing. But as far as the back goes, yeah, we'll try to get that little rib fixation. It's a little misalignment, so they'll move a little bit on the where they attach to the vertebra.
What is your definition of referred pain, intercostal neuralgia?
Oh, that is the pain that comes from underneath the bones that misaligned. So we have a subluxation, a loss of juxtaposition of one vertebra or the next, and that puts a little pressure on that nerve, and there's a nerve called the intercostal nerve. It goes underneath the rib. I'm going back 30 years, and I'm actually looking at the actual nerve underneath the rib.
I can see your eyes.
Yeah, like tick, 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 tick.
Where are you?
So I'm right there. I'm in Davenport, Iowa right now. I'm with Dr. Pemsing, and he is talking about the intercostal nerve, and so and that comes around, and that'll come all the way to the front, and you feel like, man, I can't breathe. I have this pain. It's coming under my. I think I broke a rib. Did you fall? Did you hurt your rib? No, but I think I broke a rib. You probably didn't break a rib if you didn't fall on it or you didn't hurt it. It's that misalignment between the shoulder blades or anywhere in the thoracic spine. So the shoulder blades are pretty long, and so they all go down to T8. So that pain that will come around your rib is what I like to call intercostal neuralgia.
What's the relationship between the ribs and spinal nerves, and can the ribs ever trap the spinal nerves?
Can the ribs ever trap the spinal nerves? Now, that where the ribs come out, you have the intervertebral foramen where one vertebra meets upon the other, and that nerves come out and they branch, but it's not going to really occlude the foramen of the vertebra, but it can... it can irritate the structure underneath.
Okay.
I'm back in there looking at the bones inside and seeing where that comes from. I think that you have the vertebral misalignment is going to be a different symptom, different signs than that rib structure that is impaired because of that misalignment and stretch or irritation of that nerve from the vertebral misalignment. So the vertebral misalignment can cause what we would feel would be rib pain, most likely, but the rib misalignment is not going to cause a vertebral thing, say, going to your stomach or something in between your shoulder blades. That's going to be a different nerve coming out of there.
Do you ever look for disease-based causes of rib pain?
Oh, yeah. It could be. You could have some kind of other
illness?
Process illness going on. We have to figure out what that is. Again, getting to the cause of the problem.
Right.
So we're going to try to look at the cause. We don't just say, oh, you got spinal angina. Let's not take your blood pressure. Let's not worry about it. It's just your mid-back. And we have to be careful. We have to say, is it a heart attack? Is it spinal angina? Is it costovertebral fixation? What is it? And then we're going to address those issues. But very good point. We don't just dismiss saying, well, because you have chest pain, you have intercostal neuralgia or you have spinal angina. No. We'll assess. We'll make sure. See, I don't think like you, Dave. You're thinking, what if they come in with a heart attack? What if they come in with cancer? What if they come in with something else? Yeah, we're going to figure out what that is.
Absolutely. How does a small amount of controlled force by the chiropractor to the rib joint or joints help heal or pinch nerves to heal normally?
Oh, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for lack of interference of vertebral misalignment or costovertebral fixation, rib rib misalignment, mm-hmm. and we're going to do some adjustments to the vertebra first, and then we'll check. We'll do a little motion of the joints where the rib meets the vertebra, and we'll do some motion in there. Make sure there's no fixation of that rib coming into the vertebra. But it's underneath the spinous process and the transverse process, so it's not like it's just sitting out there.
Must the rib cage and the spine be in alignment together for long-term drug-free pain relief?
Absolutely, and that's a good point, because what are we taking the drugs for? We're taking the drugs for pain, and we want to make sure where that pain is coming from. So we have to make sure that the alignment of the spine is there, and also is the rib structure coming in there? Is it a part of that equation or not? And let's figure out what needs to be done so there's no interference.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. And our conversation with Dr. Kersey continues after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Strobe. Dr. Kersey, you have said that you've never healed a patient. If you don't, then is nature the one healer, and does chiropractic assist or harness nature's healing powers for the benefit of the patient?
Were you in the office yesterday listening? Is that what you're doing?
No, I wasn't, but I'm going there today.
Yesterday we had a new patient, and he said, my wife won't see a chiropractor because she won't go to a chiropractor. She believes in she believes, and this is his word, so okay. This is, I'm not trying to get religious because, you know, it's chiropractic, right? So the body should rely on God to heal it. And I said, that's a great point. And I had to tell him yesterday, because we have to go all the way back to yesterday for our stories.
Right.
I said, we as chiropractors believe the same thing. It is not me doing the healing. I am a person who removes interference, and I happen to be good at it. And I do that on a regular basis, but it is the body's innate intelligence. And you know the saying, the body that made the power that made the body heals the body. We are the catalyst of health. We come in, we remove interference, we get structure back to where it should be to get better function, because we provide better form so the function can happen. And it is the body's innate intelligence that does the healing. It is the power from above that created the body that does the healing. Whether that's spiritual to you, religious to you, whatever it means, that's fine. But you are the doctor within. You have that doctor within that does the healing. We are just catalysts. No doctor is a healer. If you're taking a medication, did the doctor heal you, or did the medication do what it was supposed to do by inhibiting or stimulating the response that was necessary from the body to do what it's supposed to do? So we don't really, we are always our own healer. Oh, he's a good healer. He healed. He fixed me. I don't do spade and neutering. I don't fix anyone. So I think that your question is very valid, but it is the power within that heals. We are just there to help remove interference and allow your body to heal itself.
When people come to you, obviously in pain, and they're unhappy about that pain, do you convert their unhappiness and pain for them into a plan of action?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that chiropractors versus other providers is that we do provide the hope that you can heal, and we give you that plan and oftentimes after the first or second adjustment, you're already doing better. You're already less painful. You're already functioning better. The guy yesterday, the new guy that couldn't, I said, you got to take off your shoes for the exam, please. And he got over to the chair and he was barely able to take off his shoes. And then after his adjustment, he bent down, put on his shoes and tied his shoes. And I said, was that a little different than your exam when I was doing your exam a little bit ago and you couldn't bend over? He's like, that is better. How about that? So the function may return right away, but they'll have hope and they'll have a smile on their face leaving because there is hope they get better, and I can heal myself and I can take action. And it is about the person taking action. They took the action to get to our office, and that's the first step, getting to the office, figuring out what the plan is, and getting the truth told to you of what's going to happen.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number, Doc?
569-WELL-9355.
Dr. Kersey is going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversation Unlimited. Have a good week, my friend.
You too, Dave. Great show.
For now, I'm Dave Strobe. Have a good week.